dementia, mobility problems, or just the frailty of aging. And as we get older or suffer these types of health or age-related events, we need help with routine everyday living activities that we typically think that, you know, is just easy to wake up and get up in the morning and go to the bathroom and take a shower and do those things. But at some point, either due to an illness, accident, or the impact of aging, that we need help and assistance with.
Welcome to Rejuvenaging with Dr. Ron Kaiser. This is a podcast designed to help you lead your life enthusiastically today, tomorrow, and every other day. I am your host, Ron Kaiser, positive health psychologist and coach, and obviously the host of this podcast. You know that my aim is to always bring you people who lead their own lives enthusiastically, but even more so are able to help us become better versions of ourselves. And one of the ways in which we can become better versions of ourselves is to have less to worry about in terms of what happens from a health standpoint, from a health insurance standpoint, and so on as we get older. And as you know, from my book, Rejuvenating, The Art and Science of Growing Older with Enthusiasm, enthusiasm really depends on preparation. That if we really are prepared to make the second half century of our lives the best half century, we can do it with a lot less stress. And so it's with great pleasure that I bring you today Matt McCann. Now, Matt is one of the nation's leading specialists in long-term care insurance products and long-term health care planning. He is a nationally known speaker on long-term care, and he is sought after by the media for his expertise. And has been recognized by the American Association for Long-Term Care Insurance as one of the top specialists in the country and one of the select few specialists who are endorsed by the organization. With over 20 years of experience helping thousands of clients nationwide, Matt has witnessed it all and is able to share his expertise with us. Today, he runs his own national firm, McCann Insurance Services, focusing on long-term critical care and asset protection planning. And I believe Matt is licensed in every state as well as the District of Columbia. So wherever you are, his expertise is relevant to you. And Matt, it gives me such great pleasure to welcome you to Rejuvenating with Dr. Ron Kaiser. Looking forward to learning from you.
Well, Ron, thank you for inviting me. I am very happy to be on your show.
Great. Well, let's get into it. I always like to start out by not assuming that people know what we're talking about. So, you know, there's all kinds of insurance, life insurance, health insurance, and so on. Maybe operate in a somewhat similar but different ballpark. So can you define what long-term care insurance is for those of us who have no idea?
Well, Ron, I think we first have to define what long-term care is, because still today, when I talk about long-term care, most people start imagining about being in a nursing home. And first off, nobody wants to be in a nursing home. I mean, I have yet to talk to anyone that's, excuse me, there was one guy a couple of years ago who said, man, I can't wait to get in a nursing home. And I go, Fred, why in the heck would you want to be in a nursing home? He goes, that's where the ladies are. And I was thinking to myself, you know, if you're that hard up that you can't wait to get to a nursing home for ladies, then there's other problems other than long-term care that we need to discuss. But that's probably a different show. So long-term care is the type of services that we need, either due to a chronic illness, an accident, dementia, mobility problems, or just the frailty of aging. And as we get older or suffer these types of health or age-related events, we need help with routine everyday living activities that we typically think that, you know, is just easy to wake up and get up in the morning and go to the bathroom and take a shower and do those things. But at some point, either due to an illness, accident, or the impact of aging, that we need help and assistance with. And a lot of people just, you know, ignore that issue because they just take it for granted. And then if they think they need help, they think, you know, traditional health insurance or Medicare will pay for this long-term care, and that most long-term care is in a nursing home. So a couple of things to cover. First off, most long-term care is delivered outside of a nursing home, be it at home, adult daycare, assisted living, or in some cases, memory care. So don't make the mistake of thinking long-term care equals nursing home. I'd like to say that, you know, planning for long-term care is nursing home avoidance. Because if you get the quality care you need when you need it, you get to delay it at worst or avoid at best any need for institutional care. Long-term care insurance pays for the type of care that we need over an extended period of time. And by federal definition, something is considered long-term if it lasts at least 90 days. So a sprained ankle, generally not going to be a long-term care situation. But, you know, if you sprain your ankle at age 80, obviously it could easily lead to that. Your health insurance and Medicare supplements only pay for short-term skilled care. Medicaid, which is the medical welfare program, will pay for all levels and types of home health care or facility care, any types of long-term care, but you have to be basically have very minimal income and assets. So a long answer to a short question, but hopefully it gives you an idea of the enormity of what long-term care ends up being and the fact that too many of us really don't think about it at all.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, if something goes on beyond 90 days, that a long-term care policy may help to meet some of those expenses, no matter where it's delivered, or is
it... Exactly. Long-term care insurance is comprehensive. So it covers all areas and types of care, whether it's skilled, semi-skilled, or homemaker and companionship services, in any, basically any legal setting that there is. Obviously, my basement is probably not a location to have an assisted living facility. But outside of that, long-term care insurance policies are comprehensive compared to traditional health insurance and Medicare, which will pay for only skilled care for a maximum of 100 days. Now, that's not 100 days in your lifetime. It's 100 days per diagnosis. So you could have multiple events that trigger those 100 days, but it's limited to skilled care. And the reason I point that out is that most long-term health care is custodial in nature. And that's help with activities of daily living, the related instrumental activities of daily living, or supervision due to cognitive decline. And that's where most long-term healthcare ends up being, is custodial in nature. Now, LTC insurance, long-term care insurance, doesn't matter whether you need skilled care ongoing or custodial care or a combination thereof. But your health insurance and Medicare that you may have now, depending on your age, that is limited to short-term skilled care. And that's the big difference.
Very, very interesting. So from a practical standpoint, I think, until you tell me I was wrong, I think that one of the better financial decisions that we made was getting long-term care insurance at a relatively early age. I think we weren't quite 50 when my wife and I got it, kind of triggered by how much we had been searching for long-term care insurance for her mother. And when I learned how much cheaper it would be for us to buy it, and at that age, we bought it, and it continued. Now my wife passed away about 3 months ago, and never had to use it. Fortunately, she kept herself in good shape, and for a long time it kicked cancer in the butt, and ultimately went out like a champ, but we never got to use it. But it's kind of the same thing. I don't curse the fact that I have auto insurance, the fact that I didn't have to, collect for some major accident or injury last year. But I'm wondering, number one, did we do the right thing? Is there an ideal time to purchase this? Well, I guess let me stop with that question. Is there an ideal time to purchase it?
So, if we had that crystal ball, the ideal time to purchase long-term care insurance would be 3 months before you need it. Now, unless you invented a crystal ball that actually works, we don't know when you might need long-term health care. I mean, I have people of all ages on claim, including several early onset Alzheimer's with people fairly young. So long-term care doesn't necessarily mean you're old. Long-term care also doesn't necessarily mean you're sick. So I want to emphasize that. Long-term care does not necessarily mean you're sick. You could be just old and frail and need standby assistance with activities of daily living. So having said that, when is the best time to look at long-term care insurance? Most of my clients are in their 40s and 50s. That is today. That was not always the case. So I've been doing this since the late 90s. At that time, the average age of my client was 68. I was 37. Today, the average age of my client is 53. I'm 63. So I'm not sure I really like, where I am progressing on the age span, but from a client standpoint, they are getting younger and younger. This has become part of retirement planning. And premiums and eligibility to get a policy is based in part by your age and your health. Okay. If you wait till the fire starts, you have limited choices, if any. So I kind of use this analogy. Let's say you have your house completely paid for and you decided to drop your homeowner's insurance. Now, most people obviously keep it. They don't drop their homeowner's insurance. But all of a sudden, you're trying to cook something. The kitchen's ablaze. The house is burning down. You call State Farm and say, I want to buy homeowner's insurance right now. And they starting, well, sure, what's your address? And then you go, oh, by the way, does it matter that my house is currently burning down? What do you think State Farm is going to say? They're going to say, well, once you rebuild, you give us a call, right? There has to be an if in insurance. If there is no if, it's not insurance. It is totally something else, okay? So you do this as part of retirement planning when you have reasonably good health. You don't have to have perfect health. And every insurance company has their own underwriting criteria. But you do this when you are younger, healthier, and it's less expensive. And premiums are intended to remain level. I bought my policy at age 37. I pay next to nothing for my policy. They could double the premium and I would still be okay with it because you'd fall over finding out how little I pay getting a policy in 1998. So you did well. Matter of fact, I don't know how many years ago it was that you bought the policy. You were probably ahead of the curve at that point. But today people are doing it younger. Those that are self-employed or own a business, C-Corp, S-Corp, LLC, what have you, can take advantage of tax deductions. You can use funds from health savings accounts, HSA, and use pre-tax money to reimburse yourself the cost of the premium. There are policies that allow you to pay off the entire premium in 10 years. So by the time you, you know, are retired, there's no more premium. There's a variety of ways to plan. The problem is a lot of people don't want to think about long-term care, and they wait till the crisis happens. And once there's a crisis, then, you know, crisis management is a little bit more difficult than being prepared well ahead of time.
Well, that's a very good, complete picture. Raises a few questions, one of which is there a point at which it becomes too late that, you know, you're better off hanging on to, if you have the money, hanging on and investing it somewhere, or, you know, is it ever too late? I know I had a term life insurance policy that ran for like 20 years, and the last time the premium for 1 month would have been more than I was paying, you know, annually, so that there was a time that was too late, you know.
And not to get into details of term life, but those are outside the initial term. Those are not, you know, guaranteed renewables, so they can make those premiums anything you want. And generally people keep those policies because they're terminal, and then they start doing the math. In long-term care insurance, policies are guaranteed renewable for life. Premiums are intended to remain level. So you first start at that. The problem is if you wait too long, you might not have any options at all, either due to health or age. Most companies, well, some companies won't consider people over 78, much less 80, 81, 82. The oldest client I got approved was an 83-year-old guy in Philadelphia. And he was 83 going on 43. And he mentioned numerous times about his 46-year-old girlfriend. And he didn't sound his age. And then I went online because he was still working, and I looked at his picture. I don't know how old his picture was, but even if it was 10 years old, he looked really good for his age. And he got approved preferred. So he paid, I don't know, $5,000-$6,000 a year. So the cost of care is still going to be substantially more than the cost of his premium. And I think that's the key thing, is that cost of care, if you need long-term health care, is going to be more expensive than the cost of insurance. So it comes down to, it's your relative good health that gives you the opportunity to plan, assuming you're an age in which a product is offered. Once you wait till you have multiple health issues, you might not have any options whatsoever, which leaves you to self-fund. And self-funding, even for very wealthy people, doesn't work really well.
Okay, so that brings up while we're talking about premiums, I know, listeners to the program know that, and I mentioned my wife passed away, and for a long time when we got our insurance, it seemed like it was very level, that year to year to year, if there was any increase, was really minimal. Last several years, it's been increasing more, to the point where now, and it's still a very affordable thing, but I'm paying about as much for myself as we were paying for two earlier on. Right. But every time they increase the premium, I get a notice from the company that maybe that if this is going to be difficult to handle, maybe you want to keep it more level by doing one of these things.
Sure.
Have a 5 year, have it only last 5 years or 2 years, or I don't know what it is, or reduce the amount coverage that you have, or so on. Again, so far it's been affordable enough that I've wanted to you know, maximize the benefits. But I'm wondering, number one, why the recent increases? Because again, before there may have been some, but they weren't frequent, they weren't great. Why the recent increases? And secondly, are there statistics to indicate whether, you know, it's a reasonable bet to reduce it to 5 years of care or something like that? Or at some stage, is it a reasonable bet?
All right, great questions. So let's take them one at a time. First off, long-term care insurance is a non-cancelable policy by the insurance company. So the insurance company can never cancel the policy. As long as you had paid the premium, it's against the law. Otherwise, the insurance would be worthless. They will let you pay until you're, you know, 75 and say, see ya, right? Not that there's not claims before 75, but, you know, they'd get some years of premiums from you and then let you go on your way. But what happened with these, what we call legacy products, these were products sold decades ago prior to rate stabilization rules, which are now in force in most states. And most importantly, probably prior to the interest rate crash. The interest rate crash had a huge impact on long-term care insurance because federal regulations mandate so much of what they call reserve funds for the insurance companies to be put in like federal bonds and those types of things, which obviously got near 0% interest. So, and most of these policies had inflation riders at the time of 5% compounded. So if you were promising 5% compounded benefits increasing for life with no cap, and you're earning almost nothing, something has got to give. The other thing, to some degree, depending on the insurance company, is underwriting over the decades has gotten more scientific. They really figured that more people would die and sooner than later. They also figured that a good percentage of people would drop their policies, what they call lapse or lapse rates, before they ever came close to becoming a claim. Well, the reality is almost nobody drops these policies. Even with the rate increase on these old product lines, no one drops them. Okay. And people don't die. And when I say they don't die, longevity is a huge issue, not just in the United States, but globally. Okay? Long-term care is a problem across the globe. Okay? Every country is dealing with longevity in a variety of ways, from taxes to state mandated long-term care insurance, to a variety of combinations in between. So today, everything is priced based on the extreme low interest rate environment, the low lapse rate environment, and within regulations. Those old legacy products were not. They still have to go to the Department of Insurance, prove a substantial need based on actuarial reasons, and have it go across a board to an entire class of people, meaning they can't pick on you individually. But nonetheless, they had to do something. Now, I have a fairly large book of business nationwide. And I've had several, I can't even count how many clients that have gone through rate increases on those old legacy products. A good percentage of them did not pay a penny more in premium. They found themselves with the 5% compound inflation rider overinsured. Many of them had unlimited benefits on top of that. So a lot of them just lowered the daily benefit or monthly benefit, depending on the company, or lowered the inflation, or sometimes went from an unlimited benefit to a pool of money. In either case, they kept the premium level. And so a couple companies have had rate increases several times much of that was actually one approved rate increase that was delivered over a period of years, as opposed to, you know, separate individual rate increases, just to make it easier on the consumer. At least that's how the regulators put it. So when people get these rate increases, they need to talk, if they're around, to the insurance agent or financial advisor that sold them the policy, or find a long-term care specialist that can offer them some quick advice. Because again, most long-term care is not in a nursing home. Nursing homes are the most expensive, but the least used type of long-term health care. Home health care, adult daycare, assisted living is the least expensive. Memory care gets a little bit more expensive, and then, of course, skilled nursing. They may find themselves way overinsured, so they can effectively and safely reduce their benefit and keep the premium the same if they want, depending on what their health is. Now, if they have poor health and they're going to need care soon, then they leave it alone, because almost every policy has waiver of premium, meaning that you don't pay the premium once you are receiving the benefit. So why reduce something that, you know, you're going to be using here real soon anyhow? So that, I think, is key for people with these old legacy products. There are ways to redesign the plan to minimize the rate increases. As far as people today, with today's products, the chance of rate increases, according to the Society of Actuaries, and no one would argue with an actuary. If you ever met one, you'd understand what I'm saying. They're an interesting breed of people. But nonetheless, they think that the chance of rate increases on today's products is less than 10%. Of course, that's assuming there's not another uh-oh. We can't predict what we don't know. No one ever predicted a interest rate crash that has lasted this long. Why? Because it never happened before. So, okay, so we're, you know, we've got aircraft in space that are bringing back things from asteroids, and maybe they're going to bring stuff back from Mars. Maybe there's going to be some alien virus that gives everyone dementia. All right, we don't and can't predict those types of things. I'm being facetious, obviously, but the point is, we don't know what we don't know. So there is no guarantee, at least with traditional long-term care insurance. If you want guarantees, I'll give you one here in a moment. Don't go anywhere. But I think people can have relatively good peace of mind. And it's interesting, Ron, that no one complains about or talks about their homeowner's insurance going up, which, by the way, they can pick on you individually, your auto insurance going up, which, by the way, they can pick on you individually, based on your driving experience, okay? These things happen all the time. People just accept it for whatever reason, okay? Cost of gasoline goes up. You know, eggs and milk and everything else is going up. People complain, but with long-term care insurance, oh my God, I'm not gonna buy this because it might go up. Considering it's the biggest individual non-voluntary risk we face in our lifetime, that seems to be a silly response. I think it gets into the fact that we all have a level of denial that long-term care is never going to happen to me. Mm-hmm. But I think for people today looking at long-term care insurance, there is a level of peace of mind. For people with policies, there's ways to adjust the benefits safely and effectively without really hurting yourself in the process. And if you're the personality type that wants complete guarantees, they have what they call hybrid policies, which combine life insurance or annuities with a qualified rider for long-term care, where it is under contract, within the contract, impossible to raise a premium. So there are ways to plan based on your own individual situation and your own personality type.
I never anticipated that we would run out of time on a subject like long-term care. Perhaps that's the denial on my part, but I do have one question before we find out a little more about you and your company. You refer to what I assume I have as a legacy policy as opposed to the newer ones. I don't know if they have a name, but is the insurance the same? I mean, or what?
Yes.
What is the difference when you talk about it, other than the fact that some were purchased longer ago than others?
Yeah, and that's really when we talk about legacy products, we're talking about the products, that started the industry going back as late as, with some companies, the 1970s. And everything today is priced under federal guidelines under Section 7702B of U.S. Code. That provides consumer protections, regulated benefit triggers, and tax incentives. Everything today is underwritten much more conservatively, even though there are underwriting differences between companies. And most states have rate stability rules in force. And basically, the insurance companies for the states that don't are still pricing and designing the products as if they were. So there is a lot more regulation than there ever was with these products. There's a lot more knowledge, scientific knowledge, as opposed to scientific guessing, as they now have decades and decades of experience with underwriting, with understanding how health impacts future long-term care risk. We know a lot more and can identify early stages of cognitive impairment. It's not impossible, but it's harder to get unlimited policies today with unlimited benefits, because from an actuarial standpoint, trying to give someone an unlimited pool of money, how do you price that? Okay. I mean, think of the people that you might know. Ronald Reagan's a good example. That went on and on and on and on, physically healthy, cognitively impaired. People go on years and years and years and years of needing care. That is the exception, not the rule. But if you're an insurance company trying to price ifs, and part of the equation is, oh yeah, there could be an unlimited benefit. You might pay $5 million on this person. How do you price that? So I think there's a lot more knowledge today, and that gives the consumer a lot more peace of mind. The other part of the problem is most financial advisors and general insurance agents don't understand long-term care. They don't know underwriting. They don't understand how these policies get used at the time of claim. They don't understand the federal state long-term care partnership program that provides additional dollar-for-dollar asset protection, much less the other tax advantages that are out there. You have to find someone like myself. I'm not the only one, by the way, but there are other people like me who are specialists in long-term care, represent all the top-rated companies, and know how these policies actually get used, so they can not only help you shop to find the best coverage at the lowest cost, but design a plan that really makes sense so you don't overinsure. No one wants to spend more money than what they need to, even if they can afford to do so. And it's that policy design where a specialist can help. And they're going to ask tons of questions, not only about your health and family history, but your finances, in order to make proper recommendations.
So tell us about you and your company specifically. And I believe I am correct. You are licensed everywhere, aren't you?
I am licensed in every state and the District of Columbia. I have clients nationwide. All I do is long-term care.
You, what you do, and how people can get in touch with you.
Well, getting a hold of me is pretty easy. The easiest way to get a hold of me is you go to the internet, and if you go to radioltc.com, that will immediately forward you to my website, so you don't have to try to figure out how to spell McCann and how many C's and how many N's and all that kind of stuff in there. So it's radioltc.com. We'll give you all my contact information. I meet people day, evening, and on Saturdays, all virtually. It's screen sharing, so you don't have to worry about getting dressed up for video. Okay, don't have to worry about that. We do everything on the telephone, and then you see my computer screen on your device. And I go through what I call an interview. And we start off with learning about your health. And I go through a detailed health history. And the more you tell me, the more I can help you. The more you don't tell me, then you're going to get inaccurate information. Okay. So, and I have to abide by HIPAA, so you don't have to worry about that. And I'm going to learn about your family history. I'm going to learn about your, how you're going to finance your future or current retirement, whether you plan on relocating, what's important to you, your family, you know, where do your kids live in comparison to where you live? Okay, a lot of people think, for whatever reason, that their daughter or daughter-in-law is going to quit their job and become a full-time caregiver. Really? Do you really understand what that means for them, their families, and you? You know, when you think about some of the services that we need in long-term care, personal hygiene, going to the bathroom, showering, those are physically tough things and embarrassing things for both the care recipient as well as a family caregiver. So we talk about those things, and then I'm able to immediately, most of the time, show them options and help them through, if it's appropriate, the application process. Not all specialists do it that way. Most of the biggies do. Not everyone that calls themselves a specialist is. You know, most agents don't represent all the major companies. I process more claims than most insurance agents or financial advisors sell policies in their career. So I do have that added expertise, so to speak, and I lived through it. I got in this business because my mom at age 59 ended up needing long-term care. I saw firsthand what happened to my parents and the rest of us in the family, physically, emotionally, obviously financially. And now that I've been doing this for so many years, I go through the claims process all the time. So there's a bit of added value you get when you work with someone like myself. I think the first thing that someone needs to learn is just very briefly educate yourself prior to talking to someone like myself. I use a website called ltcnews.com. That's ltcnews.com. There's a cost of care calculator, lots of Q&A and other articles on long-term care planning. I highly recommend that. The federal government has a website on long-term care. It's longtermcare.gov. Again, longtermcare.gov. Go to those two websites. Go to my website. That will at least give you a starting point to talk to someone like myself, who then can then show you accurate quotes and professional recommendations.
Okay, so there's your website, radioltc.com.
Correct.
Longtermcare.gov and
ltcnews.com.
Okay, we'll have all that information in the show notes. You know, I've learned so much as the host of these podcasts, but sometimes I learn more than others. And I mean, it was really interesting to me, you know, again, whenever I get these notices of a rate increase and I try and put it together and say, geez, if I do it for 2 years, that's, you know, what happens at the end of that? It's nursing homes are so costly, and just becoming aware of the fact that I probably should have been aware of, because my mother-in-law used long-term care benefits for when she remained at home for most of the time that she utilized it. The very fact that that's really just the tip of the iceberg, that the odds are that you may, if you're going to access it, it will be for something other than a nursing home.
Long-term care, most long-term care starts at home. You might have a plan of care 3, 4, 5 times a week for 4 or 5 hours a day and slowly progress. Then people usually then put adult daycare in there to give some socialization and relief to the family. And I, you know, a lot of people think about long-term care and money. Not that money is not important because we know it is, but it's not the first thing the family mentions to me when we go through the claims process with their mom or dad. The consequences on the family, the adult children and their families, is tremendous. And that's whether or not they became caregivers early on. And often the crisis starts and a daughter or daughter-in-law try to step in and help mom or dad at home. They quickly realize the consequences that that really is. And until you experience it, you might not understand it unless you've done research on it yourself. And so when I look at long-term care planning, I look at both family and finances together, because the consequences adversely impact both. And I think if anyone comes away listening to your show, understanding that long-term care is more than just money and is certainly not being in a nursing home, they're going to come away in a better state of mind of knowing that I really need to do something to take this tremendous burden off my spouse and the rest of the family. I mean, if you need care from 82, unless you married someone 40 years younger than you are, your spouse is going to be in the same age range. They're not going to be able to really be a caregiver. Your adult children, unless you had kids really late in life, are not going to be spring chickens themselves. And they will have their own families and careers to deal with it. So consequences in long-term care are tremendous, and the level of denial is huge. And you got to get rid of the denial and be realistic. And, you know, you talk about, you know, living life enthusiastically. If you can prepare and give yourself and the rest of the family more peace of mind, that will allow you more time to enjoy your current or future retirement, which is what obviously we all aim for.
Well, thanks very, very much, Matt. This was so enlightening, so informative. You presented it in such an easy to understand way. We'll have all your contact information available in the show notes. Just been a terrific guest, and I really, really appreciate your sharing your expertise as completely as you did.
Anytime, Ron, it's been a pleasure.
Great. And so this brings to close another episode, a really, really interesting one of the Rejuvenating with Dr. Ron Kaiser podcast. I hope that you all enjoyed it, that you'll listen to it again, download it, tell your friends about it, particularly those who don't have long-term care or thinking about it or are in a position where they should be, which is for most people. And be back. And also make sure that you review and rate the podcast on your listening platform. Then be back next week for another really interesting guest, although maybe hard to top Matt's presentation. So with that in mind, let me close by reminding you to stay positive, stay safe, and be back next week.